Welcome back to yet another episode of
Not Your Common Conversation.
My name is Omar Henderson. This is my partner, co-host, Chris Downing. Say hi, Chris.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Here we are.
I hope you guys got a chance to listen to episode 14. It will give you some insight as to where 15 is going to go.
Yeah, this is number 15. And we're kind of calling this, we're calling this the part two of the episode that we named...
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Something like that.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah,
that's what it
exactly,
was.
Exactly.
And I don't want to cut you off, but I'm excited. I'm excited because we had this great conversation.
Oh, my God. We've had a bunch of great conversations.
A bunch of great conversation.
that we want to share with you.
And it got started. I'm going to try to reenact kind of how it got started, if that's okay with you.
Please.
And that maybe that'll bring us into, get us back into that space. They're lucky listeners, but they're also kind of in the
friends of the broadcast.
They're giving us feedback and stuff like that. So we got some folks out there, and two of the people sent us these texts with social media YouTube clips of other people. One was about cancel culture. The other one was about some attorney in Atlanta. And so I saw a little bit of it. And I read the emails. And so I called you up.
Right.
And I just to kind of get a reading about how you felt about it, right?
Yeah, right. I started watching the one about cancel culture.
Right.
I didn't get a chance to get to the other video. The other video.
It was like 5 hours. This attorney went on about something about there was a rape some in the workspace, and he's also a consultant, an attorney, and blah blah blah.
Right.
And what it brought up for me, I was just like, obviously, are those two people that are good folks that do, you know, they're on social media a lot and they've got their viewpoints. I don't know that they're getting who we are and why we even call the show Not Your Common Conversation. And
and
for me, I was like, and so I checked with you and you were like, yeah, you remember what you said?
Well, so I only got, because you and I, so I'm on my way to work, driving to work, and I'm like, I'm going to watch this video because, our listener was nice enough to share it with us.
Right.
And then you called, and that conversation just continued for like the next hour.
Well, your feelings were, I thought.
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that.
Okay,
All right. So I'm saying that as a disclaimer that I didn't get to view the whole thing. I got maybe 15, 20 minutes into it. And from what I could gather, it occurred to me as more of, I think what we talked about was it's like making wrong the people who are making wrong.
Right. That's what it was.
More making wrong of those who are making others wrong. And so it kind of creates this cycle of this continuum that just goes round and round. It's like, and it's really interesting because between the culture that cancels and the targets, right, they're slinging mud at each other. And you get this third party that wants to hurl mud into the ring at one of the other sides.
It's like gladiators.
Canceling the culture or whatever.
And so one of our good friends mentioned the whole thing about, the game. And it's like, yeah, it's a silly game. We got to, I equate this whole thing, the social media, the political landscape, all of it has turned into the WWE wrestling.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not, there's this part of the game, right? This make-believe world where people insult each other, they counsel each other, they keep, like you said, hurling things. One person says this, and it just keeps on to talk about this. And I think And so it was reminiscent of, I started thinking about, because I saw documentaries, I read things about like Ted Turner, how, because I was like, well, how did we get here?
Right.
I remember news used to be real news, you know, it was real. We didn't have a thing called fake news as I was about to call him Mr. T, but I don't want to really insult the real Mr. T, who was really a hero figure, somebody who stood up and meant something positive in the world. And so, but this guy, this Trump guy, who happened to have been the president at one point, and it seems like there's a good chance that he might be president again. Sadly, you know, started this whole thing about fake news, or somebody said fake news. But anyway, I thought about how Ted Turner came about with this whole, with CNN, and how at first people thought it was ridiculous. This would never work, this 24-hour cycle of news. And in a way, from an entertainment point of view, it was brilliant. It did catch on, and thus we have Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, all these news cycles, echo chambers that create this volatile space, kind of like, again, the WWE, where people get to hurl things across at each other. The sad thing, unlike the WWE, we know it's TV and we can cut it off. This is our lives, people, and they're playing these games with our lives. And we can't be that gullible and ridiculous to buy into this thing. It seems like we have.
Well, this is our lives. So, you know,
they made this thing up.
When you said this is our lives, what came to my mind right away was someone will say, yeah, and they're reporting on that. Yeah, at the same time. And then they opine about it. They you know, they're reporting on it, and then there's an opinion about it, and that opinion begins to feed into, you know, the audience. And then in that audience, you're going to have, you know, one or two people that really agrees with that opinion and gets really upset and then wants to go out and possibly cause harm to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been fortunate up to this point that I don't know of any instances where, wait a minute.
You know of instances, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I can't think of any instances where, you know, a politician, I was getting ready to say, had incited a riot, but you know, look at what happened at the Capitol.
Yeah, the Capitol. Look at, you know, people go to clinics and hurt people, and people, I mean, we have plenty instances, what's the word? Plenty examples, I can't get it out, okay. Instances that people do bad things to people based on what they see the media, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, any of these platforms, and people getting their feelings about it. They catch feelings about it. And so we have to be, I think it's irresponsible to create these things. And by the way, they're doing it for their own interest, their own self-interest. And so it saddens me that we can't understand that this is a game that they're playing with our lives. And I think that when I think about, you know, someone asked me, I talked to an old friend of mine, and the word, she mentioned it, and I said, that's my word of the year, being grateful. Like, because as we get older and we live life, we know that this life truly is precious. We were granted life by whether you believe in God or whoever you believe in, but you right now, at this moment, we're experiencing life. And so for us to be that irresponsible and not take this thing serious, I mean, I think it's foolish. And so,
well, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
For every issue out there, I'm sure someone will say, well, we are taking it seriously, and that's
right,
why we're
sure.
doing what we're doing, you know? But you mentioned the game, and I want to, and then inside of our conversation, we said, yeah, the game continues, and it goes unnoticed or undistinguished as such. Now, there are some people that play the game, and they play the game. And they like the game. They like the game of it. They, you know, they're engaged in the game of it.
Right.
Yet at the same time, the impact of these games can be harmful.
No doubt.
Can be harmful. You know, it's in a lot of the games that we watch on TV or, you know, that we see in the sports world, whether it be tennis, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. When that
All
game,
entertainment, by
when,
the way.
Yeah, when
don't,
that
don't,
game
don't
is
Don't get
done,
it twisted.
Then the opponents shake hands and you know, walk off the field. And some of them even call each other up because they grew
they're
up
friends.
Together. They went to college together, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But in this game, you know, this social political game they were playing, people die and the winning side says, oh, well, too bad.
Too bad. And some of those people in the political world, they're friends too. They're playing us like fools. They're playing. Yeah. They're saying all this stuff, and they're doing what they need to do, and they're getting paid, and they're going home, and we're getting all excited and pissed off, and they're like, "You big dummies! this is So what's sad about it is that the entertainment, that politics, and things that really matter, supposed to matter to us, have turned into a game, and we think we're so caught up into it. As people get caught up, have been caught up in even sports games. You know, there have been riots and fatalities in soccer and all kinds of stuff. People they don't know how to draw the line that this is a game. But here's what the reason what I really want to talk about this, and this is kind of part two to you can't judge a book by its cover. And I think what we meant was that everything you know that you see. All that glitters isn't gold, and every person you see, that may not be exactly who they are. What they represent on social media or what they represent is different than what they represent in real life. But here's the big reason why I wanted to bring this up,
okay.
Omar, talk about this, because it really got me thinking about why we chose to do a podcast and why we named it Not Your Common Conversation, because I don't want to really comment on these people that they sent us, these clips, the cancel culture, because what that does is just furthers the conversation. It drags us into the game. And I think the distinction that we want to make, that the things that we're talking about, this is really who we are. Like, this isn't a game. It's our lives. And we want to talk about things, because people we know as humans, as spirits, humans having this human experience, that we go through things. We want to be better at this experience. We want to enjoy this experience. If you want to call it the game of real life, like compassion, caring, understanding, all those kind of things.
Yeah, and I would like to add in there, being able to be angry and not necessarily harm somebody you know, it's like I've got to rephrase it. The ability to be angry.
Yeah.
And you can be angry and still communicate in a way that's effective without showing that anger, without expressing it, without necessarily it having an impact, the anger itself. You can be standing for something. You can be disappointed in something. But the anger itself will get in the way.
Right.
So, you know, in the midst of all of this, Chris, I think, and I'm kind of shifting gears here.
Right.
One of the things that came to our mind last week in a conversation was the idea that there are conversations that can't be had because of cancel culture. And this is not to go into that arena and play that game, but we want to create a space where conversations that you can't have because you may be refined, restricted, or whatever, or confined, or whatever,
right,
that you're able to have those conversations here, and possibly you feel empowered to go out in the world and have those conversations so that we can all begin to get on a level playing field, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, where we're beginning to accept others, not try to hide our own faults, which we tend to do a lot of, and which has us, you know, kind of keep the conversations out there and has us pointing the fingers and blaming and shaming and not necessarily creating any connections with people that we don't necessarily agree with at the moment,
mm-hmm.
or we find that we have, you know, we don't share certain values or the same ideas. Not Your Common Conversation is the space to have conversations that will move the needle forward, yet somehow don't seem to, happen. You know, I was watching Trevor Noah once talk about what it was like to be South African.
Right.
And they talk about apartheid openly.
Mm-hmm.
Between black and white people. They talk about apartheid like, well, this is what I was doing back then. Well, this is what I was doing back then.
Right.
You know, they have these free conversations. Here, it's difficult to have a conversation. Well, most of us are so far removed from slavery that, you know, we don't really have that true experience. But, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to some of my band members the other day who are from the South.
Right.
And one of them shared about a time when he was driving in a car on a road and this truck pulls up next to them with these big tires. And the guy sitting on the side has a platinum snub-nosed pistol hanging out the window. And there's a big Confederate flag flying behind the truck.
Right.
You know?
Smells like fear.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And in the face of that, anyone would find it difficult to have a conversation. But, you know, what would it be like to get those two guys in a room?
Yeah, I mean, for the purpose of not, I mean, what comes to mind for me is not just, it'd be great to get those in the room because there's automatically, I think, a learning on both ends. You know, one of the things we said in the last podcast, you know, I mentioned about, you know, getting to know your neighbor, having a better understanding, not getting to know your neighbor to necessarily, you know, it may not be a perfect match or you guys are friends, but, excuse me, at the very least that you can get an understanding of who your neighbor is, your neighbor can get an understanding of you for, if nothing else, that, hey, you know, When I back out the driveway, I go to the left, and I notice you go to the left. Maybe I'll wait for you to come out and do your left, and I'll do my right. At least we get that right. You know what I mean? We don't have to, instead of we both back out, hit each other, and then we're arguing, and we're at odds, and we're enemies. Which is by the way, the whole thing of fighting, I don't know who likes the fighting and all this stuff and all that. To me, that's not really a good experience. I mean, you're on the planet for any given time, whether it's 10 years, 5 years, 60 years, whatever. You're given this time. You're going to use it to
fight and subdue.
And have a bad experience for the time. I mean, it's such a waste of time. I mean, there's so many things that the planet has for us, everything. You know, I was in Jamaica a week or so ago, and I was just in the ocean marveling at how amazing, first of all, how vast the ocean is. Here I am, given the opportunity to swim in this vast, beautiful blue ocean with these trees, you know, that sit up on the mountains and the water, and it's being patient and gentle enough for me to enjoy it. And what a thing to behold.
Right.
And then I get to go out and eat some wonderful food and see people and smile. And they put out, I know America put out this whole travel advisory thing, blah, blah, stay away. And I, you know, for whatever reason, I'm coughing, sorry. Getting over cold.
They put out a trap against Owens to where you went?
Oh, yeah. They put out, you didn't hear about the big trap? They put it in a couple places. They put it in Bahamas, some places in Europe. This is what America put out. And of course, there was a video that was sent to me by one of my brothers. Oh, it was terrible how they jumped on America and was like, you got the nerve that put as much crime as you guys have. At least we have real food in our country.
Oh, wow.
We don't give our people processing garbage food. You know
Ooh.
What I mean? They went, they doubled down. It's like, you got some nerves.
Wow.
I don't want to get into that. Just the fact that my bigger point is that we have so much to behold and share with one another and learn from one another and to enjoy with one another. You can't do that when you're dead, or you can't do that when you harm your neighbor, or You know?
Or when dominating becomes when your reason for existence.
Yeah, because, and what are you really dominating? It's like some gang guys going, hey, this is my corner. If you don't come, but neither one of you own any of it.
Oh my God. So that's amazing that you bring up the word gang because, you know, and I've never been in a gang. I've never seen gangs, but, you know, based on what I've seen on TV,
right?
You know, the gang leader sits in what he considers to be very plush environment. If it's in an apartment or if it's in a palace,
right?
You know, he considers it plush,
right?
You know what I'm saying? While his minions are out there doing all that they do to,
dirty bidding,
the market,
right?
So, in a sense, there's no difference between, say, the gang leader of the Crips and the King of England,
or someone on Wall Street. Yeah, no difference. It's silly.
The difference is what the King of England has done is legal.
Well, they made it that way. I mean, they made it that way, but I mean, it's nobody rules anything. That's the thing. Nobody, you don't rule because in a minute it's going to be over for you, and someone else is going to come up. But I really just think that speaks to our egos, like this God complex of wanting to be the king and win and conquer all the time. This conquering thing is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous because you're not conquering anything. It's just temporary. You
know, it's funny because I want to, when I hear you say that, I think, right, and due to our orientation and mm-hmm. what we were educated by,
right,
you know, most global conquerors, at least recently, came out of Western Europe. Now, I'm not going to say that points the finger at anybody, but, I mean, when you look at the world today, it's either influenced by Great Britain
mm-hmm.
or Spain,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some places sparsely dominated by France. So you got those three. And then I think Belgium tried to do a little bit of something.
This is Omar's history class. I love it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Please. And so, throughout history, I'm sure that, you know, yes, each clan has tried to dominate another clan for one reason or another. So there's this drive within us as human beings to dominate and overtake and for what reason? I have no freaking idea.
For the temporary high.
I suppose.
It's like, look, I'm on the hill. Until someone knocks me off.
You know, the story in Japan is that each clan thought it necessary to defeat the other clan in order to unify Japan.
How's that?
Oh, that's part of the reason why there were so many feuds in Japan. Because you had clans who were in charge of provinces.
Right.
And then, but each clan leader thought it necessary to bring unity to Japan. But the only way to do that was through conquest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conquest.
I mean, they're not the only ones.
No, they aren't. They aren't. That's historical. What I was saying in the beginning. They aren't. They aren't the only ones. You know, it's.
So what is it about humanity?
That he's got to go out and conquer.
And at the expense of other people's suffering.
Yeah. Some of it's greed.
And feeling good about it.
Some of it's greed. Some of it's, you know, for.
Yeah.
And I'll put in quotation marks for. As a peace mission.
Yeah. You know? I'm going to kick your ass in the name of peace.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Woo!
Exactly. that's pretty crazy. That's.
I mean, if you were someone, if you were the single energy that created this thing called life, you've got to be like, what the fuck? What is wrong with you people? I'm the one who created this. And you're like walking around going, no, it's mine. I'll conquer you because I want this little piece. And then it's like, God, it's like, talk about ants.
Oh, wow.
On a molehill. It's like, and it's so easy to me. Maybe it's not for some people. I feel like it's so easy to love, so easy. Like we've got to really, and the thing about love is truth to me. Love is honesty. Love is real. Love is what we get to experience in this human experience. What spirits get to transfer to one another. That has, to me, it has a it's an energy that could, that flows.
Well, I hear that, and what comes to my mind right now is that in order to put yourself in a position where you can love,
mm-hmm.
that requires allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Ah.
Which also requires...
vulnerability.
Yeah. Which also requires you accepting where you're at fault. Like, we had a conversation earlier today about being a man.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's how not easy, think, ladies.
Yeah, yeah. And how men think, right?
Right.
And you know, it's funny because when that's thrown in our face by a woman, I don't know about you, but I feel a little bit like I got to get defensive to defend how a man is.
Right, or, sure.
And in that
that's
moment,
interesting.
And in that moment, I'm not letting myself be present to my own, should I call them faults? My own characteristics as a man.
As a man,
yeah,
right.
I'm not allowing myself to be present to that.
Right.
I'm too busy trying to defend the image and the inauthenticity that you know, I'm promoting.
Right.
Right? And, you know, if
trying to protect the whole thought that men don't have flaws.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right, like, wait a minute.
We don't have flaws. You can't, don't bring up my flaws right now in my face. You know, you got flaws too. And then there's Donald Trump. It goes from that.
And at that very moment, if you could just take a minute and be okay, first of all, be okay. If you're that, and this is the thing about people and especially men about, like, you know, I'm a man. Being a man is synonymous with I'm a badass. If you were that much of a badass, you would be able to stomach your own flaws. You would be able to admit that I'm wrong, or that I lied, or that I'm vulnerable, but what we do is we puff up our chest and we make the other person wrong because so that we don't have to expose our own vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And it's like, what if we took the road of, like, you know what? I did screw up. I screwed up. In fact, right now, especially when you catch somebody right in the middle of something.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? People are like, I mean, they're defiant. Like, I will not let you see me wrong. Right. I will go down for the rest, you know, I will tear this family apart.
Right.
I will throw out everything. I will mess up the marriage.
Right.
I will not talk to my kids. I will not talk to my siblings. I will not talk to my parents because I'll be damned if I show myself as wrong.
Exactly.
What you're actually saying is, I'll be damned if I show myself my own vulnerability.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, when you do show your own vulnerability, because I've tried this many times, when you do show your own vulnerability, if the person is any kind of a person, they will show you their vulnerability.
Yeah.
Which will create a authenticity between two people. This is what we love about, as a man, I'll say this. This is the thing, that feeling that we feel when we first meet, like, a, you know, a woman that we like, that we want to be with, or you know, anybody, you know, it could be a family member, and you guys have that synergy, and you're saying, I love you, I love you,
yeah.
I love you, and you remember how good that feels?
Yeah, you know,
it's like a good feeling.
Yeah, for some reason, those moments actually welcome you being vulnerable with yourself and with the other person, those first few moments. But then, you know, and I think more of us are willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think, you know, because when you break that barrier of stepping up to that person for the first time, and then, you know, you feel that your confidence all of a sudden just takes off. And so, you know, making mistakes here and there, it's acceptable. You know, it's okay. It's okay. There are all these signs that you two are interested in each other.
Right.
You know, whether you trip or not.
Yeah.
You know, but then time goes on, and then, you know, after that goes away, all of a sudden what comes back is survival.
Yeah.
and having to survive that relationship. And part of that looks like being invincible.
it's crazy. And it, like the very person that you felt these looked into their eyes and said, I love you, is that very person that you're like, I want to tear you apart. I want to. So was it inauthentic when you said you loved them or did what happened? Because they're still the same person and you're still the same person.
Right.
But I think what happens is that you've built up some resentment, and the more resentment is like, I'll be damned if I show you my vulnerability. Now, at the beginning of the relationship, when it was brand new and everything, oh, you were showing all kinds of, y'all were talking soft to each other, you were naked, you were talking about, you know, your deepest, darkest secrets, and let some disagreement come in the picture, and it's like, and so what you're mad at, part of it is like, I'm mad that I expose my vulnerability to you, and now I don't trust you because no. Maybe that's the very time that you go, you know what? Hey, listen, I'm vulnerable. By the way, right this moment, I'm vulnerable because I'm scared that whatever argument or whatever we created is making me look bad. And I'm feeling some way about that.
Yeah.
And if I could just say that, if I could just say, instead of making the argument bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and like social media, like politics, like sports and blah, 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 and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I want to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. It's like these two boxers before they get, you know, boxers before they get through the fight, they're in these feather phases. Like, nah, it's like Don King. They're making that up, guys. You don't have to do that. You have more power than you think. At any given moment, you can turn that bus around. But the price is that you be vulnerable. That's the only price.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, you know what? I miss you. Call someone. I have, I don't want to go too, but I have a family member who is choosing not to talk to me right now.
Right.
Because, you know, for whatever reason, they think I wronged them. And I say, hey, man, we can, at any given moment, because I call that person every now and then, I go, at any given moment, we can turn this bus around. We can talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind saying, hey, listen, hey, man, if you didn't like what I said, my bad, I'm sorry. Because my intent was not to hurt. My intent was like, I don't think that's authentic, what you're saying. But hey, if I'm wrong, we can have a conversation that moment, and maybe there's something that I didn't know. Maybe my bad. Maybe I didn't know something. But we don't have to choose to not. And by the way, two people, you know, someone that I love, and I know on some level that he loves me because he said it many times throughout my life. At any moment, so what does that mean? When all the times that you said you loved me, you were lying or something, or is it that you just can't find any way, any human character to say, wait a minute, this is the person that I know very well. They know whatever the thing is. We can just have a conversation.
Mm.
And we don't even have to agree to, you know, it's not like, oh, we have to agree. But the relationship and the love that we have is at least working, at least worth reasoning this out and having better understanding. What did I miss, by the way? If there's something that I've done, please, please, I will lay myself before you. What did I miss?
Mm.
And then we can talk about that. And in turn, you know, you can tell me what I miss, and I can express myself, and we can have through this beautiful thing that we're granted, by the way, communication, like what we're doing. We're just simply talking.
Mm.
We're just talking, having a conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, that person knows who they are. I love you very, very much. And by the way, I miss you because what we have created over the years is much, much more meaningful and powerful than what that brief experience was like.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's interesting because we had in our earlier conversation, first of all, you know.
And I'm sorry, by the way.
Go
ahead.
First of all, we need to stop talking on the phone.
Or record our conversations.
Or record our conversations. Because, I mean, you know, see, this is what I was saying. It's like, last week, you know, we stopped. Because right. I was like, we can't rehash. We can't, recreating the conversation, it just doesn't have
the same yeah, I know.
And
I
drive, know. I know. You know, I know, as when we first get together and blow it all out.
Well, I mean, because it's real then.
Yeah, it is real.
I mean, we're reacting to something.
We're now reacting, we're having to creating, we're brainstorming, you know, and it's like all these instances come up, you know, and it's like, yeah. So, because this reminds me of part of the earlier conversation where, you know, we talked about the fact that in order for relationships to work, we have to give up some belief about ourselves and the other person, you know.
It's not easy,
you know, because why is that? Well, our beliefs will have us create the other person or even ourselves as a fixed thing that will never change, never grow, never have a different point of view. As a, you know, it's funny. Oh, here we go. That's true. Here we go. So, and then, like, oh my God, I can't think of his name, but he recently wrote a book and he said, he was introducing the book and did a whole video about it. And he said, you know, that instead of seeing another person as a problem to fix, think of them as an unsolved mystery.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to remember that
one. Exactly. So, you know,
I have definitely tried to fix some people in my life, but go ahead.
Well, you know, and for me, you know, all this interpersonal stuff that we kind of hit on, it's about raising it to the level of international politics.
What do you mean?
And quite honestly, if we cannot, on this level, allow ourselves to be vulnerable, get authentic in communication and in relationship, then we really can't expect that of our leadership.
Wow.
Yeah. Our leadership.
Be the change that you, want.
Well, right. There's no real disconnect between, as much as we think, between, you know, who one considers to be their leader and themselves. You know, if in fact the general, I would just say, and this may be just an assumption, but if in fact the general attitude across the country is arrogance and self-importance. Then you would expect that the leadership would act that way when it comes to other nations and just, you know, just overall. Yeah, you know, people want... And when I say by arrogance and self-importance, you know, we have to manage our lives here in the United States.
Right.
But then managing our lives here in the United States does have an impact globally on other countries. I mean, like right now, you know, for instance, not only are you dealing with the Palestinian-Israeli issue and, you know, Israel gets a lot of money from us.
Right.
But then you got companies who are mining for cobalt in Central Africa, in Congo region, you know, and that's so that you and I can have the luxury of using our cell phones.
Our cell phones, right.
Exactly. And these people are, you know, they're paying these people 35 cents a day, which is probably meeting just the bare minimum for those people in living. They're happy that they have jobs, I'm sure. Yet, has it really done anything to improve the lifestyle of all those people that are mining? And so this is what I mean by, you know, the sort of arrogance of, well, as long as I'm taken care of, you know, you just continue to do what you do.
Right. You self-preservation. Know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some sense of self-preservation. But, right. Well, there's a difference between self-preservation and outright arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Self-preservation, those miners right now are self-preserving.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some companies come along and say, we'll give you 35 cents a day to go dig for this cobalt. 35 cents. Oh, great.
Well, it's all relative. I mean, you know, it's like that's all they got. So, you know, you kind of don't miss what you don't have. But
well, that's true.
But us over here. But that's the arrogant part.
Well, yeah, I would say the arrogant part is, you know, the rest of the population here in the United States or maybe elsewhere, maybe, you know, either they don't know it or they just don't care. As long as the cell phone is working,
I'm good.
I'm good. My cell phone is working, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's something to think about.
Yeah.
I mean,
if we're talking about, yeah. Yeah. If. Yeah.
So you always go deep, man.
I know.
You
I
go deep. You
go deep. I gotta stop it.
You go deep. That's great. That's great, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because that matters too. I mean, it's whether it's here and abroad, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm not saying, you know, put your cell phone down, but I think that. See, I think there can be greater equity. There's enough resources for the whole planet where everybody can live comfortably.
Oh, of course.
And so that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, it just seems like we've gone so far down the rabbit hole, all of us collectively as a world. You know, they constantly dangle these carrots in front of us. I mean, you and I are old enough that we can remember simpler times when we didn't have these cell phones, where we didn't have these luxuries that we have. And quite frankly, it seemed a lot simpler. Of course, we were younger. It was a different way of life. But it just felt, I mean, just 30 years ago. Hell, 20 years ago, it felt a lot simpler. It just seems like the more we get, the more complicated it gets. The more luxuries that technology, we're like, woo, we got this thing. But, you know, again, much is given, much is required. You know, and I think we forget that second part. We get something that we want and that we've wanted so and that we've deemed so great and of value, whether, you know, for some people it's a new car, some people it's a new job, more money, stocks, crypto. Some people it's a woman, some people it's a man. I got this woman or this man that I always, you know, I always kind of wanted. They match what I want. And then you get them and then you go, okay, I'm sitting fat and pretty. Look at what I got, everybody. Look at me. And so we lose sight. We think that's it. So you turn into, I've experienced, I'm talking from my own experience. You get things and I go, well, okay, Chris.
What's next?
What's next?
Yeah.
It's like almost a habit you can't feed, you know? It's like, you know, you get this and now you want to sit on it like you're king. I don't know. And again, there's something, I don't want to point the fingers because it's easy to do. I've done it at someone, but I have to look at us as humans as a whole because this is something that's been going on, you know, since the beginning of time. What is it about humans that, and you know, when you talk about, you know, great, you know, biblical times, or whether it's the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, they all talk about, the Torah, they all talk about, they have lessons on there that are basically like, calm that ego down. you gotta chill out.
Wow.
Keep it simple. And we
that's
just
really interesting.
Yeah, that's what the gist of it to me anyway. I get like, you know, I listen to Deepak Chopra and it's like constantly like the lesson is you gotta be control yourself. I'll use the word enemy. The big part of the enemy is you. Like you got to control yourself because you are going to inevitably get out of hand. I don't care how you think you're doing good. You think you're being the best husband and the best wife and the best father and the best mother. But really, your ego is at work. Because as soon as you do something good, you're like, yeah, look at me. Look what I did. And you think that you're the shit then. And it's like, and you make it about you. And it's so easy. Whether you're the president, it's like, yeah. They're following me. You put on a suit. Yeah. And so we get like that. I mean, I've been like that so many times. And it's like, I have to talk to myself. I feel myself rising. I'm like, Chris, do you know, especially when you get health challenges and you think things don't, because just as easy as it goes right, it can go wrong. And you're like, damn,
You know, that begs the question, man. Why do you think someone would want to run for president?
We were talking about that the other day, me and a buddy of mine, Thomas.
Is that right?
Yeah, he said, oh, Chris, we're talking about president. He's like, Chris, you should run for president. He was joking, of course. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to hold that back. I think there's this, and this is, I've heard people often say that it takes a certain kind of narcissist to do that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard, somebody said that, like a special narcissist.
I mean, it occurs that way to me.
On some level, like you know, I don't know. I mean, but also you could think that, you know, I mean, the thing that when, you know, growing up as a kid, you would hear, I want to be the president. It was equated with wanting to, I guess there was a status with it, but it was also like, I want to.
Well, that's interesting. Why would a kid say he wanted to be president?
I mean, but you hear it.
Yeah.
I want to be president.
Yeah, no. Yeah, when we were coming up, it was like.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it was like when we were coming up, it was a common question, what do you want to be? And it wasn't uncommon for some kid to say, I want to be president. But why would a kid want to be president?
Maybe they're saying, I want to be somebody, or I want to. You know, society has told us, like, you know, these are the things that you, to be somebody, you know, whether it's the lawyer, the policeman, the fireman, they put in our head that, you know, this is what being a man, especially men, being a man, they made the world, you know, women are our wives and nurses, like they made these little pockets and we didn't know any better. We just follow along. I mean, you follow along and you realize, like, what? You get older and you go through that. You spend your whole life doing just that and realize, wait a minute, I didn't want to do this.
And then it kind of begs the question, what's the experience? And I know you don't know this. What's the experience of being the leader of a country and knowing that, well, I'm going to pass, or, you know, I'm going to legislate this thing into power or whatever, and it's going to piss, you know, a bunch of people off, and it's going to make some people happy. I just, I guess the question becomes, what type of person does it take to stand in the face of, it's like this, standing in the face of, let's say you're in a room.
Yeah.
And what's around you are hanging daggers with very sharp edges.
Right.
And you could, you know, it's like the moment you move wrong.
Yeah.
Bad cut. You know, but, you know, there's a. And then there's a way to move around them, I guess.
That makes you.
What? I don't know. That makes you what?
You know? Yeah, I wonder how that feels. I can imagine, because I mean, we've witnessed it. We've had the experience of witnessing the first black president, Obama, right?
Right.
Like, we never thought that would happen. And it's like, okay, you did your 8 years. By the way, I mean, you can say what you want about him, but it seemed like there was, he seemed like the president in my lifetime where there was less personal embarrassment. like he came out like, you never heard that, oh, he cheated on his wife, whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know if he did or not, but you never heard that. And so this is my point. I think I'm trying to make a point that he, I just wondered what that was like for him. Like, I did this, I was the first black president, a lot of stock. We put a lot of stock on him, like, ooh, he's gonna be the man. This is the guy. This is, in some ways, he's the game changer,
right?
Or symbolic of the game changer. And it's like, now he's not that. And it's like, what? I mean, I guess it's like, I don't know what it's like. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and having to make decisions that you know are going to be, you know, at some point, you know, you got to make decisions that are. They're going to have some grave consequences.
Impact. I mean, and it's not, he's not doing it all by himself. I mean,
he's not doing it by himself. There's a cabinet around
him. Yeah.
You know, I, personally, to me, it doesn't seem like. Now, what's interesting about Trump is that he doesn't seem to care either way. How can I say this? He's forthcoming and not caring.
Well, I think he's got another agenda all to himself. I feel like it's kind of like, you know, I look at him as, I don't know why we're talking about Trump, but like a mafia boss. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in the thing. I mean, he's like a mafia boss. He knows that this country, the U.S., is built on scams, the royal scam. Remember Steely Dan, the royal scam. He knows it, and he knows like this is nonsense. This whole thing, this whole money and God we trust, the whole Constitution. We made this shit up. My forefathers, we made this shit up. This shit's not. I mean, we do what we want. That's for that. That stuff is put in place for to control you, common people. Come on now. I know how. Listen, we don't need to. We don't need to. You know, it's like you ever. I don't know if you ever been in a courtroom. I've been in a courtroom, and you're sitting around. And you got the judge. You got attorneys, and you got people making all these decisions about your life, and you have very little to do with it, very little say. Right. And that's how he's like, you guys don't have any, I can do what I want, because that's how this works. This whole thing about us working for you and doing the, that's a gimmick. That's a thing we tell our slaves so they can, you know, do the best for us, so they can, you know, acquiesce and do what we need them to do and play your role. And long as you're playing your role, like, you know, let's make America great again. Let's do what we do in America. And he's right in that sense. This is how America is. I just need you to be, you know, black people. You know how we do. Play your roles. Don't try to come eat where I eat unless I call you in here and for a reason. And I need you for a reason. Other than that, you're going back out there in the fields and do what I told you to do, do what we need you to do. And I got my head, whoa. I got a couple of head Negroes, whoa, that I bring in to go round to rally up you other Negroes. Anyway, that's just my 2 cents. I'm not saying it's so, but you know, if you find some merit in that, you know, help yourself. No, again, it's easy to throw darts. And do what we love to do as humans. So I'm just as human as the next person. So I have to be, again, my ego gets, I have to be careful, you know, and talking about someone like Trump.
Well, you know, I'm not going to just pigeonhole him, because one of the interesting dynamics, I think, between Democrats and Republicans, and this time I'm shining the light on the Democrats, is, you know, Democrats, in my opinion, from my experience, are less forthcoming about what they don't care about. But then it shows up in the policy.
Right.
It shows up, you know, it just shows up.
Right.
Whereas Republicans are, you know, they'll just tell you right off, I don't care about that. You know, so.
Right.
And so you basically end up with. I mean, you know, you basically end up with the same thing whether you vote Republican or not. I mean, in some instances,
yeah,
you know, you basically end up with the same thing, and which is having a liar as your leader.
I mean, what if we got used to create a world? And see, this is the thing about, I feel like we have more power if we would really collectively not participate in that in the shit show. Like, if we could really, as collectively, I feel like we've gotten away from that.
They've controlling done our future.
Yeah, I feel like social media has divided us even more.
It's beyond. It's before that. It's way before that. You know, we elect people into office, and then they, you know, turn around and make these decisions for us without really consulting us. It's almost as if they're saying, well, you voted for me, so, you know, I already have your approval, so I'm going to choose to do this and do that according to how and why you voted for me. And, you know, it's like a coin toss. It's like sometimes it'll work out, sometimes it doesn't. As opposed to being in constant communication with the constituents and saying, hey, I'm about to do this. Is this what you want to see happen, yes or no?
Right.
And even taking into consideration those who weren't the constituents, those who didn't vote for you. I mean, you know, you're in office now. You're representing both sides, whether they're Republican or Democrat or whatever. And so it only works
in a perfect world, right?
It only works to reach out to the whole group and say, this is what I'm up to, you know. Do I have your support, yes or no?
Yeah, I agree. But what it really looks like is that I don't give a damn about any of you. I'm doing my own thing, and I'm going to use you all as pawns, suckers, because, hey, that's the American way. That's what we do here. That's how we do. That's what we've distilled down to. I mean, you know, whether it's corporate America, whatever, at the end of the day, I love what they say. You know, what is it? Corporate America, big business used to say, are people too. Yeah, that's the scary part.
People with influence.
Yeah, and so they're just going to, at the end of the day, they're like, hey, let me see. I want my kids to go to both the best schools. I want to keep enough money generational. It takes a lot to do that. So, sorry, you're going to get screwed because I want all this. And so the humanity only extends to their family members. The people they like. The rest of you guys, not so much. Anyway, I still believe in love.
Okay.
I still believe in love, and that's what did Lenny Kravitz say? Let love rule.
Let love rule.
Let love rule.
Yes. And there Wouldn't are practical steps to that, I think. I would just say there are practical steps to that. You know, some of our lucky listeners hearing that would be like, yeah, but that's corny. They may consider it corny or, you know, old hat or whatever, or easier said than
done. Well, what else you got, lucky listeners? If that's corny, what else you got? You want to pick up a gun and shoot each other dead? What else? I mean, what's the opposite of love? I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you want to, I can start talking about the news and every time I turn on the news, it's young folks and people, not just young folks, but people killing each other. I'm like, are we that insensitive? Have we lost our minds?
Right.
I mean, it's still places to go. There's good food to eat. There's friends to meet. There's great music. There's flowers. There's beautiful oceans to swim in. There's mountains to climb. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. Do you not want any of that?
Right. That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, which since you just talk about.
Burn it down?
Well, yeah. And then the powers that be. As a reaction,
my voice gets high-pitched,
you know, right now in D.C., there's like a crime wave. And then the powers that be, in reaction, think, well, we need more laws and more policemen. Nobody's asking the question, why is this happening?
I know.
Like, what's at the root cause of this rise in carjackings or rise in I go on about the news. Every day, the first thing you hear on the news is somebody was shot. Okay. It's like,
where is that coming from?
Where is that coming from? Like, let's work towards getting to how being human is killing us.
I think what's a big thing there, the elephant in the room, is that we have a mental health issue. People are suffering inside of their heads. There's a war, it feels like, that's going on in individual heads. There is something that is evoking the spirit to have this kind of human experience. Yeah. Where you, which I just saw in the news this morning, man, woman, man dead, little girl dead, woman got shot. Domestic, no, and they kept saying no need for the public to be to feel unsafe. This isn't, you know. So what would have someone kill a little girl? The man's. I mean, there's just a lot of crazy. Like, what is going? excuse me. There's something mentally going on at large, especially in this area. That's going on. That's bothering people. That's having this kind of thing where people are like, you know what? I'll just shoot you.
This is an instance where one's inability to allow themselves to be vulnerable and thus get authentic about what they're experiencing ends up in somebody else dying. You know, it's there's a guy who was doing a study on trauma, and one of his cases was a man who was in prison for life for murder, and him murdering this person was an expression of his anger, and he was angry over the fact that his father was deported and never came back.
Wow. So you take that issue.
That issue. His father's deported.
And transpose
never,
it
never
on.
Come back. So as long as his father is not coming back, he's getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah. So he's had that's mental. That's a mental illness to me.
Well, yeah. It's a traumatic response.
Yeah, it's a traumatic response, which needs to be understood and dealt with in such a way that would be helpful to that person, so that person is not harmful to someone outside of himself or himself. You know what I mean? Like, we've got to be, I think, better at understanding and working with people who have, you know, traumatic experiences, whether it's, you know, a lot of times it's in the family. A lot of times it's from childhood and never gets resolved. And so it just culminates into this big thing. And finally, it's like, I got a reason and I've got access to harm somebody. So I think maybe we could do better at socially working with, and we, you know, I mean, all of us have some kind of issues that we're dealing with.
Yeah, but, and that's the whole point. Nobody's asking the question. So, you know, you go out, you hijack a car, you kill a guy. Is anybody asking you, why did you do that?
Yeah,
beyond, well, I was pissed off at my girlfriend.
Yeah, but what's really there?
Digging deep. Digging deep. So this was a reaction to you being pissed at your girlfriend. You know, where else did that show up? Or what did your girlfriend trigger in you? Because that's the next question.
Yeah.
Why'd you kill this guy? Because I was pissed at my girlfriend. Well, what did she trigger in you? What did she do, and how did it trigger you? Well, she did blah, 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 blah.
How did it make you feel?
Yeah, how did it make you feel? Right? Yeah, right. Well, where does that feeling come from? Well, you know, when I was 5 or 6 years old, this happened.
Yeah.
And I said I would never let that happen again.
Yeah, never happen again. And so...
20 years later, your girlfriend does this. Bam, you're not supposed to let that happen again, and you go kill somebody else.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh. That's not funny.
No, it's not funny, but it's
yeah.
It's sadly ridiculous.
Well, there's a chain of events that occurs that leads to it. And then this happens with almost every human being on the planet. So you know what had to happen to those who were leading us.
Hmm.
You know what had to happen at some point that they had a moment of failure.
You mean people who are leading us?
Leading us.
Yeah. You mean like presidents?
Presidents and senators and congressmen and dictators and kings and, you know, whatever. You know that they had that moment.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about what happens, I think... with quote unquote successful people is that they sometimes can get away with not having to be accountable for some of the things that they might be dealing with. So people don't, you know, it's like you hear about this with a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes have issues. And then they go into, you know, we love them for when they tackle and knock somebody down. But when they go do that with their spouses, and then we go, well, why? What happened? Or police officers, you know, we go, well, what's that about? We award them on one, but we're not really looking at, you know.
Where does it come from?
Where does this stuff come from? Because exactly. It takes a certain mentality to do that. You know,
exactly.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and they were saying, "Oh, you know, this new guy. I'm interested in. He was a military and ex-police guy, and you know, for me personally, I'm like, that's a red flag. But you know, I'm not trying to shame police officers, because we need them, and they've done amazing work. And first thing that, you know, if something happens, I'm going to call the police. But it, you know, we got to also understand what it takes for them to be able to do what they do, and sometimes it's not in the best interest. Yeah, I mean, they're dealing with some things that, yeah, exactly. you know, it's like you're asking someone to deal with something very animalistic, and then with the flip of a switch to be human again.
Right.
And so, or somebody in the military. And so it's like we have to look at, first of all, they have to also be honest enough and vulnerable enough to seek help. And not keep this in. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. There's a responsibility on their end, but there's also a responsibility on our end to hold them accountable in a nurturing, caring way, not an accusatory way, but like, hey, that's not cool. Like,
right.
I know, you know, that's good in the football field and out on the police force or in the fire department, but that's not outside of those extreme situations. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So you have to know how to balance the two. And sometimes they don't. People don't know how to balance. They think they take that same. We've been going on and on. But I've heard men say, you know, their spouses happen to be a woman. This happens on both sides, women and men, where they're in the corporate world and they're that whole high-poweredness and alpha person, male or female, works at work, but it doesn't necessarily work at home.
Hmm. Right.
And so you have to be able to balance all the time. You have to be able to balance. It's not, you know, we're multidimensional people, and so we have to be able to balance. Listen. Wow, this has been a spirited conversation. We talked about a lot.
Yeah, we covered
as
a lot.
We do, and move all around the place. But this is what I want to end by saying. This is what we mean by not your common conversation. It's not that we don't talk about a lot of the same things that you hear, but I think it's the way we go about talking about it and the intent that we talk about it. And really, I think we said this earlier today. It's really about how to make humans, the human experience better.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. How do we make the human experience better for one another, not just for yourself, but for the people around you and outward into the world? Not to fuel the we're not doing this to be popular on social media or we want numbers and be popular, but not being popular by way of evoking some volatile, you know, flaming the fire and counseling. I mean, it's not. I'm not trying to play that game. That's not the game I'm trying to play.
It's funny, yeah. So that recalls the earlier conversation. So basically, we talked about a lot of this stuff earlier today.
Right. Yeah.
It was all very very well connected.
Yeah.
And one of the things we said was, our podcast is an opportunity for you to peer into and begin to notice for yourselves where some of these traits, some of these ways of being, some of these, you know, defensive ways of being or vulnerable ways of being, actually just notice. Notice when they come up. Notice when they're there. At least if you get to That's notice great. It, you give well yourself said. A chance to choose whether or not you want to follow the status quo or whether or not you want to create something new or however you want to go. But you get to choose as opposed to being, you know, dumped upon and feeling like you have to react. Just notice for yourselves. When we all begin to, our hope is that when we all begin to notice ourselves and notice our good qualities and our bad qualities, we're better at choice. And then that empowers us to make better choices, better decisions, and to lead ourselves and to lead others. You know, you're a leader, I'm a leader, you guys are leaders. So,
And lucky listeners.
Exactly.
And lucky listeners.
Exactly. So let's create a world that works.
Wow. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Got Chris in the booth, got Omar too. All the lucky listeners know we do it for you. Not your common conversation, back with the new. And we speaking the truth like they need us to do. Ain't not your common conversation, not your common conversation, not your common.